Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You got it. Thank you so much, Alicia, for Ohio State to be able to get a guy of that stature in there. So this is an interesting article that College Football News had put out. They went through and they put together the total amount of wins for FBS programs over FBS opponents, over the last 5 years, okay? So what teams in the last 5 years had the most wins in FBS versus FBS schools? Now, obviously, it's no surprise who number one is. That's Clemson, along with Alabama at number two. Razor thin, 64 wins for Clemson, 62 for Alabama. Of course, some people will say that, you know, well, Alabama plays a much harder schedule than Clemson. Maybe there's some truth and validity to that because of the conferences, but you can't deny what Clemson has done over these last 5 years. Ohio State came right in on the heels of those two, 61 wins to put them at number three. Oklahoma was four at 57. Wisconsin, believe it or not, five with 52 wins. That's a pretty impressive number. We don't always think of Wisconsin and how much success that they have. And really think about the last couple of years, they've actually been a little bit of a disappointment the last couple of years. So they come in at number five. At number six, you've got Appalachian State, who is actually tied with Boise State. Now, obviously, the resume of Boise State and App State, not quite the same as some of the bigger schools we're talking about. You know, you've got wins against teams like Charlotte, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, South Alabama, Troy, you know, schools at New Mexico State. We talk about App State. So, you know, this is not about quality of wins, though. Okay, this is not a ranking talking about who has the most quality wins and things like that. This is who has the actual most FBS wins. But that's still an impressive number when you think about Boise State and App State with that many wins and ahead of some of these other schools. I mean, again, I understand conference. I understand schedule. I get all that kind of stuff. But still, I mean, listen, winning games in college football is winning games in college football. So coming in at number eight, as those two schools were tied, taking up the sixth and seventh spot, is the University of Georgia. So they had only one less win. 49 is where they come in at. So you think about that, obviously incorporates what? The Kirby Smart era plus 1 year of Mark Richt, right? Am I correct on that? Kirby Smart has had 4 years at the University of Georgia, and Mark Richt his final year. So when you think about kind of how it ended for Georgia under Mark Richt and how Kirby has kind of picked up that mantra and kind of run with it. Now, obviously, you know, the second year with the run to the national title game and all that certainly played a huge part in it. But this is a program that has, you know, gotten that success, and not the ultimate success that they're looking for, but still, you think about how many wins, you know, Georgia's racked up, you know, even in the Kirby Smart era. And look, now that trend has been set, because Penn State comes in at 9, LSU is number 10, Michigan at 10 as well, along with Notre Dame out there. So in this five-year stretch, you've got Alabama second, and then you've got Georgia. And that's kind of the pecking order for the last few years about – how the SEC has been. Now, LSU had this one monster year. And think about, truthfully, had they not have had the kind of year that they had, they probably wouldn't be in the top 10. They would, in fact, they wouldn't be in the top 10 if they hadn't had the kind of year that they had this previous season with Joe Burrow. So it is a testament to Georgia about how good they've been over these last few years. Now it's time to capitalize, and obviously it's time to get that next step. And, you know, it's amazing to read about, as obviously we're not going to get any spring football. It's one of the things that we're definitely going to miss out on this year. Nobody's going to have spring football, but and hopefully we get a chance to have SEC Media Days. I have not. I know that they announced some of the guys. I wonder if Jamie Newman will get a chance to come to SEC Media Days. I wonder if Kirby will decide to go ahead and put him as part of the group. I know that they made an announcement, I think, of already what players were going to be showing up, but I'm sure they could probably change that at this point and see about having a guy like Jamie Newman come, because I think it'd be great to hear a kid like that. And it's amazing how many people are hyping up how good Jamie Newman is. We've talked about some of the lists that he sits at and ranks on as far as top college quarterbacks. Look, there's no doubt everybody's got their eyes focused on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's the babe, the boy, and just trying to work his way to being the number one pick in the NFL. Obviously, Justin Fields, you know, in that number two spot solidly as far as top quarterbacks coming back. But it is amazing how when you get past those two guys that everybody knows and understands that are the two best quarterbacks in college football, it is amazing to see how many people really do have Jamie Newman high up on their list of top returning quarterbacks. So, you know, who knows? I mean, sometimes you strike lightning in a bottle with these grad transfers, and sometimes, you know, it just kind of all comes together, and who knows? I mean, maybe this is, you know, Georgia's T. Martin moment, where they had Jake Fromm and they made their run and it just didn't quite happen. Who knows? I mean, maybe this is their T. Martin, you know, go win a national title. You know, I don't think Georgia fans at this point would really care who the quarterback is of their team. They just want the national title. I mean, hell, they had to live with a guy who went 1-for-12 for 7 yards the last time they won a national title, and he's like the most beloved guy you could ever imagine in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame and everything like that. So I don't think they really care at this point who leads them to the national title, but it is amazing to think about how many people have really been enamored with Jamie Newman. And of course, you know, we're obviously waiting on to see what the schedule is going to be like, you know, as all sports were canceled here in the spring across all colleges. I don't even know if there's anybody that actually was doing anything at this point, because everybody had shut down all college athletics through the springtime months. And pretty much by and large, a lot of these colleges just going from home at this point. So hopefully, you know, it won't be too much longer. I know the SEC was trying to figure out about its media days. Greg Sankey was trying to figure out, you know, sooner rather than later about the event. And, of course, that's going to be July 15th and 16th. Don't forget, SEC Media Days this year aren't in Alabama. They're here. They're here and at the College Football Hall of Fame. And we had a lot of fun. We broadcasted from there. Got a chance to cover some of that, be down there for some of the press conferences. I had a really good time down there. I'm truthfully a geek for stuff like that. I'm a big fan of SEC Media Days. I don't know how much you learn, how much you don't learn. I like the environment. I like the atmosphere. I like being around that environment. You know, Hoover's a little bit more crazy, especially when Alabama's, you know, do, and everybody's dressed up and hanging around the elevator and waiting for St. Nick to come down and do his thing out of all of it. But it, you know, it really is, you know, it really is amazing. I mean, you know, just how big of a spectacle that event has become, because it really has become, as much as the kickoff games and things like that really kind of launch college football into the start of their season, you look at SEC Media Days, and that really has become the unofficial start to the college football season. And I think, you know, as a sports fan, if you can get to SEC Media Days and get SEC Media Days, you know, on and have that event taking place, I don't think there's any question about the fact that, look, it's a big deal, and I think people would feel a lot better about football being back. Okay, when we get back. So it may not have been the year that we wanted last year out of Matt, going into the season, but maybe it's this year that we get what we really want out of Matt. We'll talk about all of that next. Talk some Falcons football. Chuck, we're hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. You say that you are so helpless too, that you don't know what to do. Each night I pray. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night, headed to the top of the hour. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow me at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. You know, I'm not too big to admit when I was wrong. I really went into this past year of the Falcons thinking that Matt Ryan was on track to have his best year ever, and that even includes his MVP year. When you look at the personnel, you know, and getting Devontae Freeman back, and I like the addition of Allison, and obviously the fact that they drafted two offensive linemen in the first round to help protect Matt, spent $51 million in free agency money to bring in some offensive linemen, you know, and the weapons that were still around him. You know, obviously Ridley, Sanu, Julio, Hooper, you know, a lot of good options that were available to Matt Ryan, but you know, as we know, obviously, it didn't work out. And part of that was the fact that they couldn't run the football. Part of it was you played hokey pokey all season long with your offensive line. And really, you know, you couldn't get one cohesive unit to stay together on the field for very long. You know, Mohamed Sanu ends up getting traded during the season. And of course, Matt at times himself did not play well. He forced some throws, had some bad turnovers at times. You know, part of it being chased around like crazy and getting hit and sacked and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything that caused all that. And it should have been a much better year. Dirk Koetter coming back in the fold. He had some familiarity with Matt. Things should have been a little bit better and more smooth, but they weren't. Fast forward now to this year, and we talked about last night how the Falcons have really kind of gotten back to that 2016 mode of let's be a great offensive team and just a good enough defense. At least let's go be able to sack the quarterback and you know, at least be able to get something like that going defensively. So when you look now at this offensive unit, it would be hard to say that they're not better going into this year than they were last year. You know, wide receiver wise, I think when you look at how good Calvin Ridley has become, and he really kind of flourished when Mohamed Sanu got traded. And then even for a guy like Laquon Treadwell, who you throw into the mix, you know, his skill set, you know, his numbers haven't bore out yet, but his skill set tells you that he's got all the tools to be a really good third wide receiver. And think about that. Laquon Treadwell, if you saw him at Ole Miss and I said, hey, that's a third down receiver for the Falcons, you'd look at me like I was nuts, because everybody knew he was going to be a first round draft pick coming out. I mean, he was just that kind of dude, but it hasn't quite worked out. And I don't think that the Falcons have to lose a step at tight end either. And they certainly don't have to lose a step if they can get Todd Gurley, you know, in a, oh, what's our favorite term, load management kind of role. You know, you don't have to burn Todd Gurley out, you know, 15 carries a game. You know, that's a pretty decent number. So maybe that number is, a, you know, a carry or two less. You know, maybe you're somewhere 13 to 15 carries a game. But I'm going to go in with the hope and expectation that we get the Matt Ryan and this offense, you know, back to what it was, and Matt Ryan becomes, you know, that guy that it talked about, you know, across the league. And look, he's got some really stiff competition to try to stand out against in his own division. You know, obviously Drew Brees playing out his last year or two, you know, for the Saints, just signed his big deal. What was it? 2 years, $25 million. Obviously, we know about Tom Brady and what he's going to do, or I should say, at least he's in the division now. We know. So, you know, if I'm Matt Ryan, you know, it's okay to maybe have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder that, yeah, people are talking about how good the group is of quarterbacks in that division. Imagine if you had Cam Newton. Think about that. If you had Cam Newton, you'd have four MVP quarterbacks in one division, four former MVP quarterbacks in one division. So, but even so, with Matt, you know, as a borderline Hall of Fame player, Drew Brees is a lock cinch first ballot Hall of Fame. Tom Brady, you know, why even make him wait 5 years? That may be more of the discussion than anything, is why should Tom Brady have to wait 5 years to get into the Hall of Fame? But when you put that together, you know, Matt Ryan's going to be the guy that certainly won't get nearly as much love as those other two guys, which is both, I guess, you know, it's fine because I like the idea of maybe Matt flying under the radar. But I kind of hope Matt Ryan maybe takes that a little bit personally. Maybe he plays with a little bit of a chip of, hey, you know, I can be as good as those guys. I've had a lot of success on my franchise the last few years, because I think most people are going to look at the Falcons as third in that division. That they're going to look at the Falcons and say, yeah, Brees and Brady are going to be battling for the division. Oh, yeah, the Falcons, yeah. You know, they brought back Dan and Thomas, and yeah, they've made some moves, but I don't know. They've got Brees and they've got Tom Brady, and I'm going to go with them. So I'm hoping that Matt does come into this thing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And there's no reason why, with the collection of offensive personnel, that even if Dirk Cutter takes a slight step forward in his offensive mindset, you know, they have a lot of ways that they can use some of these guys. We talked last night about how you can use Treadwell and Gurley and things like that. So I'm counting on the fact that Matt Ryan gets back to that MVP level of performance out there. And it certainly won't be for a lack of better weapons. Now, what it probably really comes down to is two things, and the same two things that have kind of haunted this franchise, it seems like, many, many a time during Matt Ryan's career. Sometimes it's been great, sometimes it's been terrible. But one is effective running game. You know, what kind of effective running game can this team put up? And what I mean by that is, I'm not expecting them to be the top one or two or three rush teams in the NFL. They may be that in passing, but they won't be that in the NFL. But you got to be able to run the football when you need to, whether it's 4 minute offense to run out the clock, whether that is at the same time, you have to be able to, you know, take some of the pressure off of Matt, you know, to where play action really doesn't have any meaning because they already know you can't run the football. You know, being able to, on first down, pick up 4 yards when you need to. And the second part is, obviously, they have to have health and cohesion along that offensive line. And that, as much as anything, I think really played into some of the failures of this offense and the, at times, you know, inability for Matt to perform at his peak level, whether it's getting hit or getting around. You know, listen, Matt's a guy that certainly is not going to fool anybody with his speed and things like that. But Matt Ryan is not the most, you know, Matt Ryan's not Dan McGuire back in the pocket. I'm not telling you that he's a guy that is fleet of foot and things like that. But when Matt has to move around in the pocket and step up and take off with the ball, he's done that. He's not going to win any foot races, but the idea is that he's not Dan McGuire. You know, he's not one of those kinds of guys that's just literally a living statue when you talk about getting into the pocket, you know, or guys like that. So if they can find some cohesion along this offensive line, if they can keep Matt Ryan upright and let him get back to that point where, you know, there's no reason why Matt shouldn't be in that 70% plus completion percentage again. There's no reason why Matt shouldn't be able to get back into that. And that's where Matt thrives. When you can get Matt going and you can get that high percentage, you know, completion, and he gets into that rhythm, he's as good as anybody in the NFL when he gets going like that. He's as good as there is when you start to get him as a rhythm quarterback to all of this. So I'm speaking it into existence, as some people say, that I think Matt is back to that MVP form. I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP. I'm not telling you that he's going to do that. He's going to have some stiff competition with some of those quarterbacks, you know, in the AFC with the Lamar Jacksons and the Pat Mahomes of the world. But I think Matt establishes himself back. And like I say, I think if you're Matt Ryan, there's no reason to not maybe have a little bit of a chip. And listen, Matt Ryan would never say that in public. He'd be the last guy on planet Earth, you know, he'd be the first guy to tell you that he should be third and he shouldn't be even looked at as those two guys. Because that's how Matt is. Matt's never going to give you a sound bite, okay? Now, what I'm hoping is internally, though, that we get some of that, you know, maybe internally, Matt has a little bit of that a-hole, that guy that said, you know, get the F off my field and those kinds of things, plays a little bit with all of that. So we're less than a month away from the NFL draft coming up, and still I don't think any real kind of clear direction is what the Falcons go. I guess obviously the first thing is just getting confirmation from the NFL that everything is a go for the NFL draft, that there's not going to be any delays or anything like that. You would figure if they were able to squeeze in all of this free agency and trades and everything else that's gone down and all the moves and headlines that they've made over the last couple of weeks, as we were talking about last night, they can do the draft anyway. They can put Roger Goodell in your local YMCA gymnasium with nobody there. And then, you know, when the picks come in, some kid with a, you know, with one of those 3x5 index cards comes in wearing a jersey of that team or whatever and hands it to Goodell. People will still watch like crazy. So if we can just get to where, you know, we've got solid confirmation, you know, on the draft, it'll be fascinating. And, you know, at least it feels like with free agency for the Falcons, some of that pathway of where the Falcons want to go in the draft starts to become a little bit more clear, that you get a little bit better vision. You know, I mean, you know, as Todd Gurley comes into the fold, as Dante Fowler comes into the fold, I should say, trade for Hayden Hurst, you get that kind of sense of where things are starting to head in the draft. Now, that may be a good thing, a bad thing, you know, what have you. I think that they desperately need still more pass rush on this team because I'm not sure where they're getting, you know, all of it. But you could very easily see how cornerback all of a sudden becomes in play because, well, they don't have two starters. And they haven't gone out in free agency and gotten anybody. And I think at this point, you know, the pickings are slim and the money is pretty tight until you can get to June 2nd to where you can give yourself a little bit more relief on the cap when the Desmond Trufant money becomes available for the Falcons to use out of all of it. So there's nothing that says that Matt Ryan shouldn't have, you know, a season that rivals, you know, talking about, you know, that right near or at, or, you know, who knows, maybe above 5,000 yards. You know, he's got a lot of good pass catchers. Gurley can catch the football. Hurst can catch the football. You know, you can get some big chunks of yardage with guys like Ridley and Julio and Laquan Treadwell. I mean, those guys they can stretch the field kinds of guys. Now, Treadwell can do a lot of different things for you, but those are, you know, we can stretch the field kind of guys with them. So, you know, a golden opportunity for Matt to get back to that. And look, when your quarterback is playing at near MVP level, or especially if he wins the MVP, history tells you that the success is quite good and the results turn out pretty well. And a lot of times you're playing in that final game to end the season. All right, when we get back, as things continue to cancel all around us, what kind of expectations about, you know, when we get sports back? What are we looking at? What could be the timelines? We'll talk about some of that next. Chuck, we're hanging out with you here on a Tuesday evening, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Radio.com app. On all the devices that we need, Texas Instruments calculator, whatever you got for a device that's out there. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Interact with us there. Follow me on social media at JMCH316. He's Jarvis D90. Well, as we continue to get more and more things that keep canceling, you know, the latest yesterday was the Olympics that have decided that after fighting, scratching, clawing, the funny part was that a few days ago, they just said, yeah, we're going to, in about 4 weeks, decide on what we're going to do with the Olympics. And then literally one day later, it was, yeah, we're going to cancel the Olympics for a year because Canada came out and said that they weren't going to come. Australia was threatening not to come. I know the U.S. swim team was complaining about training and being a part of all of it. So, you know, as nations basically just let them know that, hey, you know, we probably won't come if you hold it or whatever like that. Under pressure, China basically relented and said, okay, we're going to pushed this thing back a year. So them and the IOC decided that 2021, they will have the Olympics back, which, by the way, is actually good news for the Olympic basketball team, because think about how many guys that you'll have available coming back from injury. But sidebar from all of that, the U.S. Open in golf now, because the course that they are playing on has closed, right? I believe the story that I saw was that where the U.S. Open is scheduled to be held this summer, that course right now is closed, and they're not really sure when they're going to open, you know, back up. So probably a pretty good chance. We know the Masters was already delayed, and they don't have an end date. And truthfully, the way it looks more and more, especially given, you know, if they want crowds or anything like that, it probably will be realistically September, October, after the FedEx points challenge and all that stuff out at East Lake and all that kind of stuff. It'll be after all of that that goes down. So, you know, and no real timeline for baseball. You know, I would tell you at this point, I think if we see any kind of sports before Memorial Day, which maybe that's kind of a good time because, you know, in a lot of ways, that's the unofficial kickoff to summer, right? I mean, I know what first day of summer is technically June 20th or 21st or whatever the summer equinox is. But I think for most people, you know, it's always Memorial Day is that unofficial start to the summer. I think it's a wrap for the spring on seeing anything. There's no reason to think that. And I know MLS has flirted with the idea about, you know, well, they try to say, you know, maybe March 10th or maybe March 15th or somewhere around in that general vicinity. But I think if we get sports, you know, before Memorial Day, that will be virtual luck at that point. And I think the fact of having fans in the stands is going to take even longer than that. Now, maybe we just get an absolute excess overload of sports in the fall as baseball maybe pushes its season back. MLS continues to roll. Football is cranking up everywhere. The Masters decides to hold its tournament in the fall. Maybe we're setting ourselves up for a monster fall when all is said and done. But I think that, you know, the reality is that, you know, it's going to be quite a while before fans get a chance to be in the stands and be, you know, participants at any of these events. I still think that if you were looking for maybe the group that decides to come back first, it might be NASCAR. And a few reasons for that. One is, it's obviously very easy to social distance everybody when you got cars on the tracks and they kind of social distance themselves, you know, unless they get tied up in fenders and things like that. But by and large, it's not hard to kind of social, do the social distancing for the racers. Now, I'm not saying that there's fans in the stands, but my point is, you know, to have actual athletic competition on there. And I know some guys are going to say, well, race car drivers aren't athletes. Okay, well, you go sit in that car with no bathroom facilities for, you know, 200 miles or whatever, 500 miles, and tell me how it works for you, you know, in that hot sweatsuit with that Hans device on and everything else. So, and by the way, those cars aren't power steering. That's rack and pinion steering that you're having to jerk that car around with. But anyway, I digress on all of that. So, and of course, obviously part of it too is that, let's face it, they have a reputation, you know, the sport of NASCAR is thought of as kind of rebels, you know, within the sports world, right? I mean, they're kind of the bad boys, the rebels, the guys that don't always play by the rules or whatever. Sounds like Chuckery, by the way. But anyway, they are the kind of rebels of the sports world. Remember, they held out, I mean, until the bitter end to cancel that AMS race here, that race that was here in Atlanta. They waited till they popped. I mean, the media went out and did interviews, and they had interview sessions with the drivers and, you know, set everything up, and everything was ready to go until they absolutely last minute. First, it was, we're just going to do it without fans. And then finally, it was kind of, I think once the pressure of everything hit at that time, it was, okay, we're not going to do this at all. So I think baseball, we've got a ways to go yet, because, you know, the more you hear about that has to be negotiated out, and then you hear the Blue Jays general manager talk about, we need a month of spring training. We need to have a month of spring training to be able to prepare arms and hitters and things like that that have gone from getting in shape and getting ready for the season to going ice cold, not being able to do anything. And let's face it, I mean, we don't know when group workouts and things like that, you know, can start for any of these sports franchises and things like that. So add all that into there. And I would tell you, if we got baseball to start off June, I think that'd be a pretty fortunate thing. So we may have to just brace ourselves for, you know, obviously spring just started here, what, just a handful of days ago, 5 days ago, 6 days ago, whatever it was, you know, spring just started up. But it looks like from a sports landscape perspective, spring is gone, because we know there's no college football. There's not going to be any spring football games. Obviously doubtful that we get NHL hockey, although they might. I mean, that's one league, by the way, that's been pretty fascinating how quiet everything has been in the NHL to figure out what they're going to do and not going to do. The NBA playoffs, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, you could change up some of the format of the playoffs. You know, what is it? The NBA likes to do that thing when they start the playoffs, 40 games and 40 nights or something like that. 40 straight days of NBA basketball playoffs or something, you know, like that. I wonder if maybe for a, you know, 1 year, maybe they shorten up the series to be able to get this done in a timely manner. And it probably, truthfully, the NBA probably has, you know, probably actually breathes a little bit of a sigh of relief, because with the Olympics being pushed back another year, there's not that pressure to get the NBA done at a certain time and over with, so that guys can go play in the Olympics. And not just the USA, obviously, but all countries, you know, all representatives and things like that. So maybe a blessing in disguise for the NBA more than anybody, because now they can kind of play with their schedule and they're not up against the crunch of, okay, we got to get this done before the Olympics hits. And by the way, that was going to be July 24th when the Olympics were going to start off. So think about that. And obviously being overseas and internationally, that's a much tougher call to you know, try to expect nations to come together and things like that, because everybody across the globe is dealing with this thing, you know, in different forms. You know, Italy is having an incredible amount of time. You know, China, we hear one thing, but I will tell you that if you believe anything that comes out of the Chinese media or government or whatever like that, then I got my beachfront property in Ames, Iowa that I want to sell you on all of it. So I would say brace ourselves. You know, I think we've got a ways to go. I think NASCAR could be the first group that comes back in all of this. I think baseball is going to be lucky to have a June start line at this point to try to squeeze everything in. So look, I'm the first person to tell you, hopefully we get sports back sooner rather than later. But I think the reality is that even when we get sports back, you're not going to have fans for a while. You're not going to put a bunch of groups of people together right away. It's not going to be like, you know, NASCAR is going to hold a race one day and then the next week open up the stands to 50,000 people or whatever, you know, they get in some of these bigger races or things like that. So I'm not expecting fans to be participants of it, but I do think that we will hopefully at some point as we get towards summertime, get to where we can at least get athletic competition back and getting that going out there. So, all right, Jarvis, I think we're about at that point. I think it might be time for that Love TKO. All right, so we will be wrapping up here in just a couple minutes, and we're going to take a break. We'll get you to the top of the hour. Willie P will be coming up next. Of course, don't forget, we will be back on Thursday with you. Willie will be filling in for me tomorrow night. So lots of good stuff. We'll see what goes on out there. But first, before we get to anything else, the greatest opening lyric in music history. Looking back over my years, I guess I shed some tears. Also, too, we figured by Thursday we should have some new technology, so we'll have basically the same setup that we have if we were broadcasting at a bar or grill or anything like that. Now, we're not going to be at a bar or grill because, well, none of those are open, so we're not going to be able to do anything like that. The governor basically shut all that down today. Support all your local businesses and restaurants, too. You know, anything you can do for takeout or anything like that, man, I'm trying to help out, you know, as well, and, you know, I'm very blessed and fortunate to do the things that I can do, and if I can give back a little bit, you know, trying to give them a little extra tip, you know, I mean, I know a lot of times, you know, folks don't really tip and, you know, to go orders and stuff like that, but, you know, it's a unique time, and anything you can do to help them out is greatly appreciated for all of it. So, all right, we will be back on Thursday night, and we'll catch you from our parts unknown remote location. Willie P coming up next. He'll catch you at the top of the hour. We'll see you. Bye. Taking the bumps and the bruises of all the things of a two-time age. Trying to...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.